The bankruptcy court denies AMR's request to scrap its pilot contract. Lisa Airplanes goes into receivership. And the FAA approves a Nantucket Sound wind farm. This is Aero News for Friday, August 17, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. U.S. bankruptcy judge Sean Lane, who is overseeing the AMR bankruptcy case, has denied AMR's request to abandon its collective bargaining agreements with its pilot union. The decision announced on Wednesday is seen as a setback in AMR's attempt to cut more than $1 billion a year in labor cost. The judge's ruling came just a week after American's pilots rejected a proposed offer that would have granted them pay raises and a 13% stake in the airline once it emerged from bankruptcy. Reuters reports that AMR plans to revise its motion and resubmit it to the judge, possibly as early as today, Friday, and will seek an expedited ruling. AMR has already reached consensual labor terms with its ground workers union, and its flight attendants have until this Sunday to conclude a vote on a new proposed agreement. Something of the darling at AirVenture at Oshkosh this year, the founders of Lisa Airplanes, which is developing the Akoya Amphibious Ski Plane LSA, decided to place the company into receivership on July 30th in order to protect its future. The company says the situation has no impact on its clients' deposits, as all of them are under a bank warranty. A six-month phase of observation has been granted by the Commercial Court of Chambray. During this period of transition, the team says it supports the managers to ensure a fast resumption in development of the airplane. They say the great response of the American market during the first presentation of the Akoya at Oshkosh and the airplane's performance, as confirmed by more than a year of flight testing with the first prototype aircraft, will create investment opportunities during this observation phase. With the coming financing plan, Lisa Airplanes and its partners say they are confident they will be able to launch the Akoya worldwide, though no date for entry into service has yet been mentioned. The FAA on Wednesday issued a does-not-exceed determination for the proposed construction of 130 wind turbines in Nantucket Sound. The FAA completed an aeronautical study and has determined that the proposed construction of the 130 wind turbines, individually and as a group, has no effect on aeronautical operations. Therefore, the FAA concludes that the project, if constructed as proposed, poses no hazard to air navigation. But 130 of the wind turbines is apparently as high as the FAA is willing to go. In its letter approving the structures, the agency said additional wind turbines or meteorological towers proposed in the future may cause a cumulative effect on the national airspace system. This determination is based in part on the foregoing description, which includes specific coordinates and heights. The agency said any changes in coordinates will void the determination, and any future construction or alteration requires a separate notice to the FAA. Meanwhile, the FAA has kicked its decision as to whether to allow Eugene Skydivers to establish a landing zone at Hobby Field Airport in Creswell, Oregon, down the road for at least another 120 days. Not that plenty of time hasn't already passed. The Creswell Chronicle reports that the city of Creswell and Eugene Skydivers have butted heads for years over the use of the airport by landing skydivers. The skydiving company's owner and operator, Urban Moore, filed an FAA Part 16 complaint against the city of Creswell and the Creswell Hobby Field in December of last year. The complaint was filed to restore landing rights for skydivers at the Creswell Airport. The Part 16 complaint stems from a 2006 disagreement over landing rights for skydivers at the Creswell Airport. The dispute affects where skydivers land their parachutes and reduced Eugene Skydivers' business to tandem skydiving only. An alternate landing site is being used until this dispute is resolved. If the FAA affirms the rights of skydivers to land on the airport, then full operations is expected to resume later this year. A ruling was expected to be announced this month, but now the FAA says it won't come until early November. Moore said in a news release in June that the decision is expected to have national implications because it will set a precedent for cases involving airport access for skydiving activities on federally assisted airports. While no decision has yet been made, Hong Kong Airlines is reportedly considering canceling its order of 10 Airbus A380 Super Jumbo aircraft, an order worth some $3.8 billion to Airbus. The French news service AFP reports that the airline is reconsidering its overall strategy and may move to one that focuses more on short-haul domestic routes to tourist destinations in Asia. It has recently cut long-haul flights to Moscow and eliminated business-class flights to London. It's not all bad news for Airbus, though, as an unnamed airline spokesman told the news service that it would be replacing its older Boeing 737s with new A320s as they become available. The person said the carrier would eventually become an all-Airbus fleet. When Aero News continues, X-Corps to open up shop in Florida. Lockheed Martin marks the beginning of its centenary celebration. And the hypersonic X-51 Waverider, unfortunately, lives up to its name.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We continue now with Aero News. It's Friday, August 17th. I'm Glenn Moyer. While there has not yet been an official announcement, word around the aerospace community is that Mojave, California-based X-Corps will be establishing a presence on the east central coast of Florida, building engines and possibly spacecraft at a facility at the Kennedy Space Center. The official announcement will be made at the Astronaut Encounter Theater at the Space Center's Visitor Complex next week. Florida Today reports that the information about the Florida business venture was included in an invitation to the August 23rd event. X-Corps would not confirm any details beyond what was included in the invitation. The deal is the result of a lot of work with Space Florida and the Economic Development Commission of Florida's Space Coast, which has been reeling since the end of the Space Shuttle program. KSC had recently issued a request for commercial proposals for use of the former shuttle landing facility, a 15,000-foot runway and other infrastructure, which would obviously be attractive for the Lynx spacecraft being developed by X-Corps. An X-Corps representative reportedly told the Brevard County, Florida Commission that it hopes to be open at KSC by October 2014. Their business plan calls for hiring over 150 people at an average salary of just under $61,000. Well, it was on August the 16th, 1912, that the Glenn L. Martin Company was incorporated in the city of Los Angeles, California. The startup grew to become the company we know today as Lockheed Martin. Just 26 years old when he founded the company, Glenn L. Martin had already broken two world records in his Model 12 seaplane and was a well-known barnstorming aviator. A self-taught engineer and entrepreneur, Martin would lead the company that bears his name for four decades, building an unparalleled legacy of innovations and breakthroughs. Among his many pioneering accomplishments, Martin invented the first packed parachute in 1913. His MB-2 bomber was the first to sink a battleship in 1921. The B-10 earned the Collier Trophy in 1932 for its unprecedented combination of power and versatility. The B-26 Marauder delivered the highest survival rate of any bomber in World War II. And the Matador became America's first operational cruise missile in 1952. After Glenn Martin's retirement in 1953, the Martin Company, which in 1961 became Martin Marietta, would go on to power the space race, revolutionize manufacturing with the Zero Defects Quality Program, and develop a string of pioneering missile and rocket technologies. In 1995, Martin Marietta merged with Lockheed Corporation, also founded in 1912, to form today's Lockheed Martin. The Lockheed Martin Centennial Commemoration will continue through the summer of 2013, during which time the company will highlight 100 stories from its history, host events for employees and customers, and conduct 100 community service projects. A group of national aviation organizations has recognized South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley for declaring August 13th to the 18th as Aviation Week. The proclamation highlights the vital role that all aviation, including general aviation, plays in supporting businesses, farms, emergency response, and the overall economy. Aviation in South Carolina provides thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in economic activity, with general aviation alone contributing $417 million in economic activity in the state. Well, the X-51 Waverider hypersonic aircraft failed fairly spectacularly during a test flight on Tuesday. The experimental unmanned aircraft reportedly broke apart over the Pacific Ocean after just 31 seconds from being launched from the wing of a B-52. Reuters reports that according to a statement released by the Air Force, a problem was detected with one of the aircraft's control fins about 16 seconds after its rocket motor ignited. When the rocket separated from the aircraft so that the scramjet could boost it to hypersonic speeds, the fin failed and control was lost. The Wave Rider went down in the Pacific Ocean near Point Magoo, northwest of Los Angeles, riding the waves, as it were. This is the third test flight of the X-51. There is one more of the hypersonic experimental aircraft in the Air Force inventory. The Air Force is continuing to analyze the data from Tuesday's flight and has not yet made a determination whether it will attempt to fly that fourth aircraft. Well, we're off to fly hot air balloons this weekend at the Highland Village Balloon Fest just north of Lake Louisville, Texas, near the DFW Metroplex. Some of the pilots may indeed go wave hopping in the lake, but as we'll not be flying hypersonic, it should be safe enough. If you're in the area, please drop by and say hello. Otherwise, we'll see you back here on the internet next Monday. Enjoy your weekend. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.